Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome again to the Twin Steeples podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, joined today by Pastor Neil Radical. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota. The main goals of this podcast are to share God's saving word with you and to communicate the ongoing activity of Christ's kingdom here at Emmanuel. How are you doing today, Pastor?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Doing very well. Today we're going to take a look at a little brief devotion based on 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 17 through 19.
Yes, it says, "And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having the seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." There's a few phrases in here I think that are appropriate for our day and age, where we realize there are tens of thousands of different Christian denominations today. And I think that when the Apostle Paul is encouraging the young pastor Timothy for a second time with another letter, we know that the two of them worked closely for a time, and then Paul left him in Ephesus and continued on and was continue to encourage him in his ministry. We know that there was false teaching even going on in the days of the early apostles. And so we see that there was two again that were bringing false teaching into that mix. And the Greek word there for cancer, cancron, is really that idea of what Paul says to the Galatians, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, that false teaching spreads very quickly throughout a Christian body. And that's why Paul was encouraging Timothy to address it as quickly as possible. They were bringing false teachings in and destroying people's faith by what they were teaching. And so Timothy was trying to receive encouragement from Paul to stand up against that false teaching and to point them back to the truth of God's word, whether it be the resurrection or anything else that a false teacher would bring up. The encouragement really comes in verse 19, where Paul says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands." So the foundation we have in God's truth, the absolute authority of God's word. And the seal of that word is the fact that, okay, the Lord knows those who are his. You can think of that with David and Samuel, and how the man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord always knows the heart of a person, whether a believer or unbeliever. And everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I really like that phrase in the context of false teaching, because really both those quotes show on the one side that whether there's believer, unbeliever, hypocrite, we don't know. We can only understand or judge a person by what they say, what they do, their confession. The Lord ultimately knows the person's heart. However, the Lord doesn't condone false teaching when he says, "Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So if we're Christians, we should depart from anything that is untruthful, that hinders our faith, that would lead other people into sin or to stray from the truth. I think that second phrase is really important in the context of what Paul is encouraging the young pastor to do. And it's not just pastor's responsibility. We've talked about this in the past, that the Bereans was the group of Christians who constantly was in God's word to double check everything that was being said, not just from their pastors or leaders, but from one another. And I think that's the encouragement the Lord gives to us today. Yes, there's a lot of false teachings out in the world, but there is one absolute truth. And the Holy Spirit teaches us through his own interpretation of God's word as we look and see the other verses of where that truth comes in and what it means for our salvation. So I really like that "nevertheless" word. The solid foundation of God still stands. So I'd like to hear if you had more points to emphasize even more with this powerful section, Pastor Nauman.
Well, I think those two quotes you mentioned in verse 19 are the balance, right? It's like, it's a balance between, you know, I think of even connecting it to first or to John chapter 4, where Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well in Samaria. You know, it's a balance between worshiping God in spirit and worshiping God in truth. And it's not as if one of those things is to be more important than the other. It's not a either or proposition. It's an and proposition. We're supposed to worship in spirit and in truth. And that spirit part, I think, connects well with the first quote that Paul lays out there from 2 Timothy 2, "The Lord knows those who are his." And when we're supposed to worship the Lord in truth, and we're certainly not denying the fact that there are Christians who belong to false teaching churches and false teaching congregations. The Lord knows those who are his. And so we leave that to him. And we're certainly not saying there couldn't be hypocrites in our own congregation, but that's between them and the Lord. The Lord knows those who are his. And so we trust in that. However, the Lord also calls us to worship him in truth. So in spirit and in truth. And it says, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So and that's what we need to always remember and keep in mind is false teaching and error is iniquity. It is sin. It is against Christ and his word and his doctrine. And as the word there, as you mentioned, that's translated in this translation, cancer, it's really where we get the word gangrene. You know, you can think back to, you know, in Civil War times, especially before antibiotics were invented, due to the infections that would come from gangrene, you know, people would have their limbs chopped off to avoid getting this gangrene, which spreads throughout the body and would kill you if you don't quickly remove the infected limb. So it's something very, very serious. And, you know, Jesus warned during his own time ministering on earth that, you know, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off, you know, and that's what we are called to do with all these teachings and feelings that may feel like they're more welcoming or more inviting, more tolerant, more loving. But really what Christ calls us to do is to examine his truth objectively, to look at it from purely the word of God and to make a spirit-led decision as to what is truth and depart from false teaching and false iniquity.
Very good. As we are encouraged with that word again today to cling to the truth, let's close with prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, continue to remind us of your faithfulness to us. And although we have sinned against you and we continue to be tempted to deny your truth with the pressures of this world, whether it be family, friends, or even the enemies of your cross, we pray nevertheless that you would continue to keep us firm in that solid foundation that we have in you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless us in this foundation of your truth so that it would continue to be the absolute direction for every aspect of our lives. Bless us also in our fellowship so that our faith would also be nourished and would grow together through your love and through your presence daily in our lives. Be with us and strengthen us. In your saving name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Couple updates and reminders for you this week as we continue the important ministry that we have here at Emmanuel and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with all those with whom we have the opportunity to. Coming up this evening, our Lenten series continues. Pastor Mayhew will be coming over from his congregations over in Grace Sleepy Eye and Faith New Ulm to preach to us regarding our theme, Walking with Peter. Once again, this theme is based on several of the flaws and errors in Peter's ways that he made, especially leading up to and including Holy Week. So tonight, Pastor Mayhew is going to be preaching how Jesus led Peter and leads us from fear to faith, and how Christ continues to work that faith in us to this day. I wanted to recap for you briefly. We had a voters meeting that was rescheduled to this last Sunday, February 21st. Some important work was done. So thank you to all the voters who attended that. Our air conditioning unit that was failing on the high school side of things was voted upon to be replaced. So that's going to take place. Also, our check valve that failed and led to the gym flooding. Voters came up with a solution for that, and we'll be replacing that check valve. So that, God willing, that will not happen again. And then finally, the voters also approved an upgrade to our live stream capabilities. So God willing, the next few weeks that'll be taking place, we'll be able to greatly improve our live stream capabilities with the way that so many members are tuning in to our services via live stream. We thought it was appropriate to spend the money on that and really try to update our approach to that that service as well. So look forward to that, and we'll be looking for feedback after that takes place. Only thing on our continued prayer list here, we continue to keep Marie Meyer, sister to our member Grace Schreier, in our prayers, and she's still dealing with that cancer. She's a member of our sister congregation over in Red Wing, Minnesota. So please keep Marie in your prayers. That leads us today to our doctrine of the day. We're taking a look kind of based on what, similar to our devotion theme today, on the concept of religious unionism. That idea of religious unionism, you know, on its face, it sounds like a good idea, right? Aren't we supposed to be united with other Christians? What could be the problem, maybe, Pastor Radical, in this idea of religious unionism?
I think unionism is a mentality or a philosophy of how we decide when to fellowship with other Christians. So one of the first notions of false teachings that is claimed today by many is that it is not possible for anyone to know or teach the whole truth. So in other words, what they're really saying there is that many teachings of the Bible are unclear. So I'm just curious, how would you respond to that type of accusation against the Bible?
Well, I think it's important that when we approach this concept of truth in Scripture, it's not as if we claim as Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church and School to all have a perfect understanding of the entirety of the truth of God's word. We do not claim to do that. Well, the difference between an Orthodox church and a heterodox church is an Orthodox church, when there is a conflict or a disagreement about what God's word teaches, it goes back to God's word and allows God's word to speak for itself, allows Scripture to interpret Scripture. That's what it means to be a true teaching church, to be an Orthodox church, is you let God's word be the final say. A heterodox church would be any church that allows man's word to stand at the same level as God's word, or man's reason, or man's logic to do that. So the teachings of Scripture are clear. You know, we are not claiming like we understand every, you know, and I know you wouldn't say that either, Pastor, that I have a perfect understanding of God's word. Or I don't think anyone in our congregation would say we have a perfect understanding of God's word. We're always learning and growing in our study of God's word. But again, God's word is clear. He has given to us the truth. We cling to that truth as such a precious gift that God has given to us. And that's why we hold to these, to the truths of God's word, because we know the danger that comes, as we talked about in our opening devotion today, with that gangrenous or that gangrene cancer that can begin to fester and grow as soon as any false teaching is allowed to stand alongside the truth of God's word.
So along with that point, if we know that Jesus talks about it in John 8, if you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What freedom is Jesus talking about there, and how does that contrast with those different opinions about what should be tolerated within the church?
So that freedom there is not, it's not worldly freedom. You know, I think of, as in the United States of America, we are a free country. The rights that we're given, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of, freedom to carry a gun, you know, on and on, these freedoms that we think of in that sense, that's not the same idea. Scripture is, and Jesus's mission was a spiritual mission. And so the freedom that he gives us is a spiritual freedom. Now, many people look at the church and the commandments that the church holds to and says, well, you guys are binding yourselves. You are shackling yourselves to these commands from God that says you shall not, or you shall, and you are restricting yourselves and your ability to choose what you'd like to do in your life. And, from that worldly sense, yeah, it does seem as though we're restricting ourselves, but we need to understand that actually those who are restricted and those who are in chains and shackles are those who are addicted to their sin, whatever that sin may be, whether it be hatred, sin against fifth commandment, or that sin be lust, sin against sixth commandment, or that sin be greed or jealousy or covetousness or whatever. And you can think of many of the addictive sins as well, alcohol, drugs, pornography. These sins are addicting. They take over your life. So you can no longer choose whether or not you want to drink. You can no longer choose whether or not you want to have anger in your heart. You can no longer choose whether or not you have that greedy desire for more money, because you are enslaved to sin. And that's what we were by nature, enslaved to these sins. That is slavery. And that's the freedom that Jesus gives us, the freedom to rise above the muck and the mire and the filth of this world, and to choose the right path, to choose the truth. And that's what it all comes back to, right? Is what is the truth? And Jesus says, how do we know the truth? If you abide in my word, you shall know the truth. How do we know what the truth is? It's only through only through the word. And man, the truth is brutal sometimes, right? The truth doesn't mean good. Truth can hurt, you know, good in like a feel good sense. The truth can hurt, and the truth is honest with us. The truth tells us you're a dirty, rotten sinner destined for hell on your own. And that can hurt. That doesn't feel good. But that truth is important for us to understand, because if we're not in the truth, what are we doing? We're lying to ourselves. And that's why we see so many false teaching, and so many people who would tolerate different false teachings from scripture. They would say, well, we're going to allow these lies to coexist alongside the truth. And that's no way to live. You know, we don't want that. We wouldn't want that in our families. We wouldn't want that in our personal lives, to allow lies to just coincide with the truth. We need to be honest. And that's what God's word is, brutally honest with us and telling us the truth. And so anytime that we're tolerating these lies alongside the truth, we're watering down, diminishing God's holy word, his truth. And so it's something that, you know, we need to be ever careful about, and that, you know, that really then that freedom that Christ gives us is at stake too, you know, and that's a scary thing.
I really like the way you said that, because I think, you know, if we start by talking about what's the authority of scripture, and religious unionism says, you know, if we really can't know the truth, that's the first point that we made. If we really can't know exactly what the absolute truth is, then we're kind of picking at that truth string. And as we start doing that, really, it all starts to unravel, like you were saying there, because then what do we do next as far as what can we tolerate, what shouldn't we? Then it becomes a little bit more subjective. And that was some of your points that you were making there. If we make God's word more subjective, then we get to kind of decide what is our truth. If I'm enslaved to a particular sin, like in the examples you were mentioned, and I can pick my own truth, then I can decide what enslavement is right and what's wrong versus what God's word says. So I think that leads into another part of this religious unionism, and it speaks a little bit more closer to home here with one of our last points here that I think would be good to mention about this. A lot of times we've talked about it more recently in our congregation about where the CLC came from and how we are different from the other conservative Christian groups in our midst, in our city, among our synods that were once a part of the Synodical Conference 50, 60 years ago. And so how do we understand religious unionism in the sense of fellowship with false teachers can continue on until we reach some kind of conviction that they are actually false teachers? You know, that whole debate between warning them and working with them and all that kind of mess. How would you respond to that in the context of religious unionism?
Well, I think whether or not someone is a false teacher is an objective fact, and that's an important thing to keep in mind. If someone is promoting false doctrine, promoting unionism with someone who or even promoting unionism with someone who is adhering to false doctrine, that is that's just a truth. It's an objective fact. We strive to do the best we can to identify, as Paul encourages us to do, to mark those who cause divisions and offenses, to watch out, to continue to look out for these false teachers, for these who would cling to this false doctrine. And when the Spirit leads us to recognize that they are false teachers, we need to avoid them. It's bang, bang. Either they are a false teacher and we are to avoid them, or they are weak brethren looking to be instructed in God's word. And that's the important balance that we need to pray to the Spirit that he would lead us to understand and to make wise decisions as to whether or not someone that we're interacting with is a false teacher or a weak brother, someone who's willing to be instructed in God's word. And, you know, there's some times where that can be especially obvious, whether someone's a false teacher or weak brother. And there's other times where that it can be a little more difficult to ascertain. But ultimately the Lord is the one who leads us there. And I think if we do find ourselves in a position where we spent too long admonishing a false teacher, rather than, and treating them as a weak brother when the Spirit was clearly leading us to recognize they were a false teacher, we need to come to God and ask for forgiveness and say, Lord, I messed that up. The timing was not the way that you wished it to be. And I apologize and I beg for your forgiveness, just as we regularly do with so many other sins.
Yeah, I think our example from 2 Timothy, like you mentioned earlier, Paul's showing a very specific case to Timothy to show him this is what he did here with those two that were teaching things that weren't true, and then ultimately encouraging Timothy to do the same thing if necessary, not working with those who want to be worked with, wanting to learn more, like you said so well, but also to remove them if they are convinced that what they're saying is the truth. You said right, that's hard to sometimes figure out the best way to do that.
Yeah, I think with your point there with these two gentlemen, Hymenaeus and Philetus, is, you know, they believe the resurrection was already passed. So, I mean, a question might be asked is, can you be saved if you believe the resurrection is already passed? And the answer is in 19, the Lord knows those who are his. You know, it's not for you and me to sit here 2,000 years after these men lived and say whether or not they had faith in their heart. That's between them and God. And Paul says, I'm not going to, their message is spreading like cancer. Do not fellowship with them. But who are you to say, Hymenaeus and Philetus are in hell? Or who are you to say that any of those who believe this, that the resurrection has already passed, are destined for hell? That's not your place to do that. So I think it's an important thing to remember too.
That's interesting. Just a super quick tangent. It reminds me of our discussion that we both had with some of the high schoolers about suicide and some of those tough questions. It's, you know, if a Christian commits suicide, do they automatically go to hell? You know, it's a totally different tangent, but that idea is that let the Lord be the judge and use the warnings of what Scripture says. We don't want to be doubting. We don't want to be rejecting Christ. But that whole idea of the Lord knows those who are his, but we are just going back to the person's confession. We have this hope. If they believe in Jesus, we have that hope, but we definitely don't want to stand for something that's not truthful. So, all right. Well, why don't we close then with hymn 261, three short verses from the Lutheran hymnal, Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word. Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word. Curb those who feign by craft and sword would wrest the kingdom from thy son and set at naught all he hath done. Lord Jesus Christ, thy power make known, for thou art Lord of lords alone. Defend thy Christendom that we may evermore sing praise to thee. O comforter of priceless worth, send peace and unity on earth. Support us in our final strife and lead us out of death to life. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us on the Twin Steeples podcast. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. Until next time, may God bless and keep you, and may you always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.